Lucky Bicycle Podcast.
This is Jason Jordan, and this was recorded by Corey Bannett. My story is called Shuttlecock. Stretch wants to be an astronaut. He tells me this in the middle of the night when I'm in the bathroom wiping the semen off him and my pubic hair after a wet dream. I'm kind of pissed at him because I was sound asleep before he woke me to tell me that he's finally chosen a career and will be able to pull his own weight, so to speak, after all these years. That was disgusting, too, I tell him as I dab around my genitals, trying to make sure I'm all dry before I return to bed, especially because I sleep on my stomach.
What was disgusting?
Asks Stretch. I dreamed I was having sex with my old substitute English teacher from high school. You remember her? She had light blue irises and really small pupils. Plus, she was one of the palest people I've ever seen. I always thought she looked like a vampire, or a witch, a vampire witch.
Yeah, that's weird and disgusting. I'm tired. Let's go back to bed.
You're tired? That's funny, I say. I tuck him back into my boxer shorts and button up the hole so he won't slip out during the rest of the night. In the morning, while I'm fixing a bowl of cereal, a muffled Stretch remains adamant about wanting to become an astronaut. I ask him if he means ASS-tronaut, but he says no. After I finish eating, I pull him out through my fly because I'm tired of him bitching about being ignored and having to shout through layers of clothing to be heard.
The first order of business,
he says,
is to procure a helmet.
Now, where in the hell do you think we're going to be able to find you a helmet?
I know just the place, the supermarket.
Okay, I say, unsure of what he's getting at. I play along, though, because it's not like I have anything better to do. As the son of an investment banker who bequeathed everything to me, I'm set for life, as long as I don't live too extravagantly. I generally try to avoid the "what do you do?" question, however, since there's no easy way for me to answer it. While I'm walking into the supermarket, Stretch instructs me to find the machines that dispense candy and toys. I find several of them in the foyer, right by the automatic doors that whoosh open and close every few seconds.
Hey,
he yells from beneath my shorts and boxers. What? I ask, attempting to look inconspicuous, even though I appear to be talking to myself.
Act like you're on the phone,
Stretch says. I grab my phone out of my pocket and hold it to my ear. What do you need?
I need one of those plastic vending machine bubbles that little toys come in.
Ah, okay. There are 8 machines in front of me, linked together so that nobody can steal them. One holds miniature replicas of different guns, a .38 Special, .44 Magnum, AK-47, etc. Another machine offers fake ice, consisting of dollar signs fastened to chains, necklaces, bracelets, rings, and other types of jewelry. I insert a couple quarters into the gun one, turn the crank a few times, and lift the metal gate, which produces a mini .38 Special, encased in what will soon be Stretch's space helmet.
I'll need a suit, too,
he says. Won't NASA eventually provide you with this stuff?
They're used to sending people into space, so they probably don't have any suits small enough to fit me. I mean, I'm pretty huge for a penis, I think, but compared to a full-size human, I'm small.
Right. You are pretty large for a penis, I say, still holding my phone to my ear. So what do you want to do about a suit?
Tinfoil for now. Maybe I'll think of something better later.
Okay. I slip my phone back into my pocket and walk towards the aisle in which they keep tinfoil. On the way there, I pass by the grill, where, during certain times of the day, people can watch a chef cook. He has a mic, cameras, overhead TVs, and everything, like the set of a real cooking show. No food is naturally blue, I hear the chef say on my way to the tinfoil. Even blueberries are technically purple. Later on, at home, Stretch tells me that he's ready to try out the suit. Where, I ask.
You'll see.
I listen to him as he divulges the information needed to prepare him for his hypothetical blast-off.
First, it'll be easier to do this if you don't have any clothes on.
I cooperate.
Second, to make sure I have enough room in my suit, you're going to have to dress me in the tinfoil when I'm fully erect. Otherwise, if I get too hard and it's too small, it'll rip.
I walk to the computer, turn on some porn, and within moments, stretch is as hard as can be.
Just look at the computer once in a while so I'll stay hard.
I grab the supplies from the kitchen table, tin foil, plastic vending machine bubble, scotch tape, and go to work. I measure Stretch's shaft with my thumb and forefinger in order to know how much tinfoil to tear off. I wrap the tinfoil around his shaft so that it's snug, but not too tight. Then, I use a few pieces of scotch tape to seal the suit. Afterward, he dons his space helmet. I use strips of tape to connect the bubble to the tinfoil, and following that, utilize enough tape to ensure that Stretch's suit is completely airtight. Of course, there's no need for him to breathe, since I share my blood and the oxygen in it with him. I figure there'll be some hole in the space shuttle that I can stick him out of when he needs to work outside the shuttle, or simply enjoy the silent weightlessness of space, even though he'll remain attached to me. Still, he insists we try the suit out. I don't know, I say. It looks pretty good. I bet it'll work.
Don't assume. This is my life we're talking about here.
What'd you have in mind, then? We can't possibly simulate the conditions of space in this apartment.
The best we can do, I think, is the freezer.
You want me to open the freezer and just stand there? That's stupid. And cold.
Exactly. If you leave the kitchen light off, the freezer will be dark and cold. Exactly like space.
Fine. Let's get this over with. I pull out one of the solid oak kitchen chairs from beside the table and plant it right in front of the fridge, but I still won't be tall enough for my waist to reach the freezer comfortably. I open the closet where I find a cardboard box full of books, so I stack the box on top of the chair like a booster seat to stand on. I open the freezer door and stand there with Stretch jutting out, though I quickly realize that the door needs to be as close to shut as possible to ensure that most of the cold air stays where it belongs. Finally situated the way I should be, I had to revisit the computer once more to keep Stretch erect. I notice that Stretch's helmet isn't fogging up, which means that his suit's totally sealed. Mission accomplished. Well, sort of. NASA doesn't return our calls, though. I phone them and ask to speak to the head astronaut guy, but they always transfer me to some dude's voicemail, so naturally I always leave a message. Hi, NASA. This is Dave Stevens calling again. As I said before in my previous messages, my penis is interested in joining your space program. Please give me a call back so we can discuss this. Thank you. Bye.
I just wanted to go to the moon, like Andy Kaufman,
Stretch says, after I hung up the phone. He never went to the moon, I say. That was just the title of a movie about him.
Oh, then who was the first guy to land on the moon?
Armstrong. Louis Armstrong, I think.
Yeah, I want to be like Louis Armstrong. Mostly I'm just tired of having to live off you because I'm not able to support myself. I'd love to work. I'd love to get a job.
I'd love for you to get a job too, Stretch, but one of a hand or blow variety. Not a real one. Plus, you sleep most of the day anyway.
You're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
You weren't thinking.
I've been accused of that before.
So have I, Stretch. So have I. The end. Kill yourself.